This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's me, Rich Bradbury here, and welcome to Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Now, Shein's business model is deeply integrated into the fast-evolving landscape of ultra-fast fashion. Leveraging a blend of technology, agile manufacturing, and keen market insights to cater to a global audience. Founded in 2008 by Chris Hsu, Shein began by targeting Western markets with a focus on young consumers who have a penchant for trendy, affordable fashion. Central to Shein's approach is its use of a digital-first model, essentially acting as an intermediary that connects a vast network of ghost factories with consumer demand. This model allows Shein to rapidly produce and test small batches of new designs, gauge consumer interest, and then scale production based on real-time feedback. The company heavily relies on social media and influencer marketing to understand and drive fashion trends, with a strong emphasis on platforms like TikTok, where it has amassed billions of views under relevant hashtags. Their business operations are global, with a significant online presence that enables it to bypass traditional retail constraints and directly reach consumers worldwide. The company adapts its product offerings and marketing strategies to resonate with local tastes across various regions, further strengthening its position in the global market. The success of Shein's model has not only reshaped the fast fashion industry, but also set a precedent for other companies. It exemplifies how leveraging digital platforms and data-driven insights can create a dynamic consumer response business model that spans across the globe. However, as Shein continues to expand its footprint, questions about sustainability, moral and ethical practices, and the future direction of the company have come to the forefront of discussions amongst consumers, industry watchers, and potential investors alike. A noteworthy aspect of their strategy is a commitment to customer engagement and sustainability initiatives. The company fosters a community of fashion enthusiasts who share their purchases and reviews on their platform, contributing to a cycle of continuous improvement and innovation in product offerings. Moreover, Shein has begun addressing environmental concerns by introducing eco-friendly collections and promoting sustainable practices. And in today's conversation, we delve into Shein's commitment to sustainability, the challenges and opportunities it faces in light of its rapid growth, and the strategic decisions shaping its journey towards a potential initial public offering. From addressing concerns about product sourcing, environmental impact, to harnessing tech for efficiency and navigating the complexities of the modern fashion industry, I'm speaking with Annabella Ung, the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at Shein. If you do have any questions for us, get us on our U-Mobile WhatsApp number. That is 018-789-8899. You can also get us on X at BFM Radio. Annabella, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today. How are you?
Thank you for having me today. I'm feeling super. Thank you.
Would you say I was accurate in that introduction there?
Certainly, that's an accurate description of the company. However, there are some points that are not quite what I would say. There are some misperceptions within your description, and I hope we get to correct them as you learn more about the company when I talk about it.
I'm sure we will. And I think that's kind of what we need to start with, is some of that. Obviously, you're not the first fast fashion brand to come under fire from consumer watchdogs and a whole bunch of other people. But let's talk about how Shein is integrating environmental sustainability into your supply chain and your product lifecycle. Because often the ideas of fast fashion and sustainability do not necessarily gel together in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, I know you've mentioned that. However, you know, you've mentioned before that Shein has an on-demand small batch business model. This is actually something that is often surprising to many people that hear about a company. This is an extremely innovative model that leverages technology and a fully digital supply chain to reduce excess inventory waste. So how does this work? You know, let me break it down. First of all, we leverage technology to identify trends and measure customer demand with greater accuracy than traditional retail models. And that means for every style or SKU that we put out, we only produce 100 to 200 pieces of that style globally. And if that style is popular, we actually respond by increasing production. And if the style doesn't sell, on the contrary, we cease production. And this has enabled Shein to achieve an unsold inventory rate of single digit. And for comparison, the industry average is 25 to 40%. So you can imagine the huge efficiencies that happen through Shein's digital supply chain model.
Mm.
And because the supply chain also connects the entire supply chain from raw material suppliers to garment manufacturers and all the way to the end logistics, it actually allows us to be very responsive in ramping up production because we are able to monitor and measure suppliers' real-time capacity at every step of the production cycle.
Mm-hmm. So you can essentially decide almost on a dime whether or not something is working or not and say, okay, enough of this, it's not working. Let's get rid of that one and let's try the next SKU.
Exactly. And this efficiency in the model is really something that's revolutionary in the industry. For instance, at many conferences that we've been to, a lot of manufacturers and retailers are actually starting to move towards this model. And a study by BCG also, in fact, studied Shein's model and pointed it as one of the best practices within the retail industry to move towards.
Mm-hmm. Can we move on to then looking at the emphasis on reducing environmental impact? How sustainable are the materials that you currently use and the production process being prioritized in your operation? I mean, when we speak about your returns policy, for example, excellent return policy for the consumer side. You know, you receive your garments or whatever it is in your bag. You then send it back to Shein, and then, which seems a fantastic idea from a consumer perspective. But from an environmental perspective, there's a huge amount of plastic going backwards and forwards.
Well, I think this is a great segue for me to introduce our social and sustainability strategy. It's called Evolution. And within this strategy, we have three key strategic pillars. We have the people pillar, the planet pillar, and the process pillar. So starting with the planet pillar, a lot of the work that we do under this involves the use of sustainable materials. Mm. And we are working very hard to offer our customers more product options with lower environmental impact. So for instance, a product initiative that we have is called Evolution by Design. And to qualify under this initiative, products must be produced with at least 30% preferred materials. And we are currently focused on fabrics made from recycled polyester, mm-hmm. viscose from non-endangered or ancient forest sources, as well as rescued date stock. And our ambition is to source 50% of Shein branded products through this Evolution by Design initiative by 2030. So that's on the planet pillar. On the process pillar, it actually focuses on wasteless innovation. And that's where Shein has been driving a lot of innovative processes in the manufacturing and production process to reduce waste across the value chain.
Mm-hmm.
And in that effort, we're also hoping to shape and develop a circular economy in the fashion industry.
I mean, that's fine for the products, but in terms of the packaging?
When it comes to the packaging, in fact, the Evolution by Design initiative also requires for products to be manufactured and shipped with packaging that are made of preferred materials. So these are recycled polyester bags
mm-hmm.
and paper-safe sources as well.
What's the likelihood of that being kind of rolled across the entirety of your platform and not just on this one particular initiative?
Well, so our target is, in fact, 50% of products on our entire Shein branded products to be sourced through this Evolution by Design initiative. And I think this sets us apart from other brands that have just introduced a specific conscious collection, because we don't see this as just a one-off collection. It's mm-hmm. in fact a production standard for sustainability, which we are setting ourselves the goal of transitioning our procurement of materials plus manufacturing processes towards.
Okay. Just before we head into a break then, so in the realm of social responsibility, what initiatives would you say that Shein are undertaking to ensure fair labor practices and worker welfare within your supply chain? This is obviously I'm referring to something we have seen this a few times, whether or not it's a documentary or things on YouTube. You know, it's something that has been questioned regularly. Can you answer that?
Yeah, of course. And thanks for this question, because I do think this is an area where there are many misperceptions about Shein. And in particular, because of our low price points, some have used this to accuse Shein of exploitative practices in the supply chain. However, you know, as I've explained before, because our business model is an extremely efficient one with the on-demand production model, that minimizes excess inventory loss. And our asset-light e-commerce model also brings our costs to a very efficient model. Mm-hmm. And this allows us to price our products at very low margins compared to traditional retailers. And in fact, pass the cost savings on to our customers. Mm. And on the supply chain side of things, I think, you know, Shein's success as a global e-commerce company would not have been possible without the close partnerships of our suppliers. So one thing to know about the suppliers that work with Shein, we actually have quite a democratic approach. We work with a lot of small, medium enterprises that are not used to working with international clothing brands or large retailers. But Shein works with them to digitalize their operations and processes, train them in how to use our digital platform, transform their production processes to be more efficient and digital, as well as enhance quality control of their products to meet the standards and expectations of international companies. Mm. Yeah. So this actually also includes a robust governance framework by which we would educate our customers about how to govern their supply chain and working conditions in a way that is aligned with international standards. And here we actually have a two-pronged approach that is based on enforcement on one hand and empowerment on the other. So it's a carrot and stick approach to balance things.
Right. But there were alleged instances of workers in particular factories who were working extremely long hours for very small amounts of pay. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so first I would say, you know, looking at what we do on the enforcement side of things, we actually have a very robust policy framework that's anchored on key documents informed by ILO standards and the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And for suppliers to work with Shein, require them to agree to abide by our governance standards.
They have to sign up.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And these include the prohibition of unethical labor practices,
right,
such as forced or child labor, bribery or corruption, employee discrimination, and harassment, as well as other labor rights issues that you've mentioned.
And for those have been caught doing this practice, are they removed from your kind of network?
Yeah, certainly. We enforce compliance through our regular audits. So every supplier that works with us, in fact, undergoes an audit assessment before they're approved to work with Shein. And there's a full on-site audit that's conducted by a third-party auditor during the course of their work with Shein. So auditors would check things like fire safety issues, whether their workers are in conditions with suitable ventilation. They also check documents like workers' pay slips to ensure that workers are paid on time and in accordance with local wage requirements. So just on this pay issue, we actually did a study of pay conditions in our workers' factories, and we found that based on local averages, our workers are actually earning a lot more and what is the local average across the industry.
Okay. And about that, let's take a short break here. Folks, good afternoon, of course. It's me, Rich Bradbury, and we are taking a short break here on Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines down to the bottom line. Today, I am speaking with Annabella Ung. She's the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at Shein. You're tuned in to Enterprise Explores here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Good afternoon and welcome back to Enterprise Explores. I'm Rich Bradbury and welcome back. It's the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, I am speaking with Annabella Ung. She's the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at fast fashion giant Shein. Annabella, thank you very much for sticking around. Next question, and let's talk a little bit about governance structures and what are in place, or rather, can you discuss with me what governance structures are in place to ensure ethical business practices and compliance with international standards? You briefly mentioned it before the break, but can we break it down a little bit further, please?
Yeah, certainly. I'll be happy to share more. We, in fact, have three key anchor policy documents on the enforcement side. These are our supplier code of conduct, the supplier responsibility standards, and the SHIN responsible sourcing policy. So based on these policies, they include a full checklist of up to 141 lists that auditors in fact check for when they audit our suppliers. And, you know, of course, this framework also comes with a penalty framework when that happens. So, for instance, depending on the severity of the violation or based on the supplier, we actually take actions that are as severe as termination of the business relationship with the supplier if the situation calls for it. Mm. And, you know, we have, in fact, terminated suppliers in the past year for not performing up to our expectations and governance standards. Mm. And in fact, one thing to also know about what we support our suppliers with, for instance, after every audit, we also share a report that comes with a corrective action plan with them. And that includes very detailed breakdown of how they can remediate violative practices to be compliant and to meet our standards and expectations.
Because I can imagine, you know, if you're a factory owner and you suddenly get an order from Shein, for them, it's like winning the lottery almost for a period. And it worries me that some of these guidelines, you know, could kind of not be frowned upon, but, you know, not necessarily adhered to so much, because it's like, okay, quick, we've got this quick order, let's just get it out, let's just do it. Has that become a problem in the past, which has now been addressed?
Yeah, so I think the suppliers that work with us do understand that a partnership with Shein is for the long term.
Right.
And, you know, this is where we have a supplier community empowerment program. So that's the empowerment part, the carrot that backs the stick we were talking about earlier. And as part of this program, we actually have allocated substantive amount of funds, US 17 million, to provide funds to our suppliers. This includes things like conducting of training, but it also includes other areas like funds for them to upgrade facilities like canteens, dormitories, and childcare spaces, as well as financial aid to workers who are facing financial difficulties.
Okay.
So yeah, just for a sense of comparison, you know, just last year alone, we modernized more than 160 supplier facilities, and we've built 10 childcare centers at the factories of our suppliers. And we've also disbursed more than 460,000 in financial support over the 2 years since our financial grant program was launched.
Mm-hmm. When you're helping these suppliers out, these manufacturers, with these grants and helping them with their childcare facilities and whatnot, does that mean then that they can only work exclusively for Shein for a period of time?
Well, we actually have a policy that does not have any exclusivity conditions tied to it. However, some of the grants and incentives available to suppliers are based on their performance in our audits. So this is, in fact, an incentive for our for suppliers to improve their performance and to pay more attention to the governance side of things.
Wonderful. Okay. How do you engage with your stakeholders and communities to address their concerns and incorporate that feedback into sustainability efforts?
Well, I think, first of all, our customers are a very important stakeholder group for us, and we regularly survey them to gather their feedback on how we are doing and what more we can do better in. So, for instance, last year, we created a survey and surveyed more than 3,500 customers across 6 global markets, the US, UK, Mexico, Brazil, France, and Germany, on how they would like to be engaged on circularity.
Mm.
Based on these findings, our customers said that the top two most popular ways for them to participate is to donate all clothing and to engage in secondhand shopping.
Right.
And these are two areas that Shein has been actively working on. So, for instance, on donating of all clothing, at our pop-ups in Mexico, the UK, and in the Middle East, we have initiated campaigns to collect clothing from our customers and to work with a recycling partner to sort them, with the high-quality clothing being donated to a charity partner that can pass them on to beneficiaries in need. And secondly, on secondhand shopping, we've also launched Shein Exchange, which is a peer-to-peer resale platform to buy and sell previously owned Shein products.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to move on to sustainability reporting. And obviously, this is the thing That's important for a lot of people. They want to see public reports about what's happening behind the scenes. How do you measure and report on your ESG performance?
Yeah, so Shin is actually very committed to not only driving progress in our ESG initiatives, but to also reporting about them transparently so that there's accountability for them. And one of the key efforts that was started 2 years ago is our annual sustainability and social report, in short, our ESG report.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've done 2 years of ESG report. This is our third year of reporting on our ESG efforts. And the report includes a lot of detail and accountability in all the measures we've talked about. For instance, on the SRS audits, we have included very specific details on the total number of audits conducted, the breakdown of scores across our factories, what are the types of violations that have been found. And it also includes other things that we've set targets on and what is our progress towards achieving these targets.
Mm-hmm. Are there any highlights from any of the reports that you could briefly share with us that come top of mind?
Yeah, certainly. I think on the people pillar, which we've been speaking quite a bit about on the supplier side, some other key stakeholders for us are actually independent designers, as well as communities such as women, young people, and the underprivileged.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of some of the efforts that we've done towards empowering these other communities, we've made a commitment of $85 million towards supporting designers under our SheNex Designer Incubator Program, and towards funds that support nonprofits that work with women, young people, and underprivileged groups.
Okay. Time for another short break here, Annabella. You're tuned in, of course, to Enterprise Explores. It's a show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from headlines to the bottom line. I am speaking with Annabella Ung. She's the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at Shein. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Good afternoon and welcome back to Enterprise Explores. This is the show that helps you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from headlines to the bottom line. I am speaking with Annabella Ung. She's the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at fast fashion giant Shein. Of course, Annabella, Shein is built on the backbone of technology. That's essentially, it's a tech-first company. When we speak about environmental and social impact, how are you leveraging that tech and innovation to enhance that environmental and social impact?
Yeah, I'm excited to share more about two different initiatives that we have pioneered in our supply chain. So first is a cool denim transfer technology. This is a denim producing technology that is done through digital printing, and it uses significantly less water compared to traditional denim producing effects. And because of this effect, it allows denim pieces to be produced on demand instead of through a traditional process that requires it to be produced in bulk in a super water intensive way. The second technique that we've introduced is also related to printing. It's actually digital transfer, thermal transfer printing. And it's an area where we've also managed to significantly reduce the amount of water use compared to conventional screen printing.
Mm.
And, in an independent audit that was done of this technique, it actually confirmed that this printing process is a zero water waste printing process.
Oh, well, when you were talking about the jeans a few moments ago about how it's significantly less water, do you have a percentage of that? How much less water does it use, roughly?
We do not have that for now, but actually the specific stats will be forthcoming in the ESG report for 2023. So, I hope to be able to share that once that has been made public.
When is that made public? Or when will it be made public?
I think that to be out in Q2, so do watch out for that.
Okay. Before you go, I've got a couple more questions. One is, can you provide examples of partnerships, collaborations with other NGOs and who are helping you along with your ESG goals?
Yeah, certainly. For instance, just taking a look at circularity, We are a member of a consortium of industry as well as nonprofit partners called World Circular Textiles Day. And, the commitment as part of this group is to realize a fully circular fashion and textile industry by 2050. And, another nonprofit that we are a member of is the Textile Exchange. So the Textile Exchange supports a lot of players in the fashion industry in the use of sustainable and more environmentally friendly materials. Mm. So, for instance, when we thought about this type of materials that we would be using for our Evolution by Designer initiative, we actually take reference from the Textile Exchange definitions of what qualifies as preferred materials. NGOs aside, I think, there's also a room to acknowledge that there are a lot of innovative companies working in the space that have a very important role to play. So one of these is a company called Queen of Raw. They're actually a date stock fabric software company. And Queen of Raw software actually manages to source date stock fabric. This is a fabric that's left over from the production process of other fashion brands. And all these fabric, the types, the volumes, are all consolidated on Queen of Raw's platform. And we work with Queen of Raw to source the leftover fabric and to bring that into our own supply chain for manufacturing of Evolution by Design products.
Okay. I guess I've got one final question for you then. And, you know, we are seeing rising awareness of younger people familiarizing themselves with ESG and with greener-based companies. And choosing whether or not they interact or purchase from this company. And obviously, from our discussion today, Shein are obviously making strides towards being a lot greener, let's say, and fulfilling ESG guidelines and one thing or another. Is there a worry, though, at some point that fast fashion is something that these people may turn away from? And if that's the case, what do you think the solution is? I guess what I'm asking you is, what are your long-term sustainability goals that you're working towards if this shift happens further down the line?
Well, I think, what I've mentioned about Shein Exchange is actually a big stride that Shein has taken by making available a peer-to-peer platform for our community to shop and sell pre-loved clothing. And this was designed precisely because we've taken on board feedback from our customers that shopping secondhand is something that they're increasingly engaging in. Mm. So, for instance, when we developed Shein Exchange, we thought about the customer in mind. We got their feedback. For instance, we understand that one barrier for them to be engaging more in this journey is about just the ease and hassle of listing their items for sale. Mm. So, when we created our platform, we created a feature within it that customers are able to very easily list items, for instance, that they've purchased from Shein, because all they have to do is pull up their shopping history and, items related to the color, size, even original image of the product can be pre-populated for their listing. And then, they can fill in other details related to the condition of the product, etc. So I think this is one of the ways in which we've started to move towards planning for the future, which is a more circular fashion industry. And I think this, together with a lot of the other efforts that we're moving in terms of making products that are with lower environmental impact, thinking about how do we also transform the supply chain, improve production processes such that they have a lower environmental impact as well, will really be important in helping to shift the entire economy towards a more circular one.
Mm. Do you think these efforts that you've been making have helped to move the perception of Shein?
I think we're starting to make headway. However, we are still early days in our journey. What we can do is continue to be collaborating across stakeholders and at the same time also really be engaging our customers, different stakeholders such as nonprofits and different companies in the fashion and retail space. And also, I think lastly, communicating more about our efforts. I think, you know, we're a relatively young company compared to, you know, many other of our peers. So this is, you know, something that we're just starting on. But I hope that, you know, as we embark more on our journey and share more about it, you know, the momentum will build and grow.
Mm. Annabella, thank you very much for spending time speaking with me today.
No, thank you so much for having me and for the chance to share more about Shein and our practices on the sustainability front.
My pleasure. Folks, I've been speaking with Annabella Ung. She is the Senior Director of Global Public Affairs at Shein. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my. You can also download the BFM app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'm Rich Bradbury here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.